All right, so good evening, good evening. So for those of you who have been on the line, you have the opportunity to listen to a little musical interlude, and if you were on for both songs, you got a taste of how diverse my interests are as it comes to music. But anyways, I am so excited to talk with you all tonight. I've literally been counting down the hours for this call, and it is actually an encore call. I did this talk on Sunday, had an amazing audience with such great response that I wanted to do it all over again to make sure that if anybody missed it or didn't see the notice, that you had the chance to hear what I want to share with you. And, you know, as I thought about tonight, one of the main reasons for my excitement has to do with the fact that I know that we share so much in common. And I love talking with people who can really get me and people that I can really get them. So you are probably on this call because you want your happy marriage blueprint. You're interested in getting some tools and resources to create a marriage you love. So obviously, yes, that's the title of the talk. But more than that, you know, you're probably on this call right now because, you know, in this moment, you probably don't actually love your marriage. You know, maybe you're having some communication issues where you feel like you're talking to a brick wall, or maybe you guys are bickering all the time, arguing over small stuff that then turns into big stuff. Maybe you're just disconnected, where instead of feeling like husband and wife, you feel like you're roommates living in the same house. Or maybe for you, it's that you don't really feel secure in your relationship and that the trust and the bond you once had is long gone. Or maybe in your house, you know, there's just so much tension, you don't even feel comfortable around each other and you kind of feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time. Or maybe, honestly, your heart is just broken and you're really wanting your best friend and the love of your life back. Well, whatever it is, whatever of those points resonated with you, I want you to know that I have been there too, that I understand exactly what you are experiencing, and I know firsthand, you know, some of the frustration, your anger, your sadness, disappointment, your loneliness, and sometimes even hopelessness. But I want to encourage you that this call is really about making things better, and I want you to know that it can get better, that, you know, whatever is happening right now does not need to be the end of your story, and that before you is this incredible opportunity to get some support, some tools, and some resources that can really help you turn things around to where you really do enjoy your husband and you can have a marriage that you absolutely love. And I know some of you may be saying now, well, I don't know, you know, we tried therapy, that didn't work. My husband is just not even interested in getting any help. And, you know, you're sitting here just knowing that the direction you're headed is not a good one, but you're not quite sure how to turn things around. You may be asking, you know, how am I going to get to this marriage that I love, Siobhan? You know, how can we communicate better and stop arguing? How can we reconnect and rebuild our trust? You know, how can I be happy again? And, you know, I'm really glad that you asked those questions of me, because tonight, you know, I'm going to share with you what I consider to be the beginning of a happy marriage blueprint, and I'm going to be talking through 5 keys that if you practice them will help you to do a few very specific things. So first, it will help you to recreate how you've been experiencing your marriage so that you can feel love, at ease, and deeply connected to your husband. It will also help you to overcome the biggest barriers to effective communication so you can feel heard and understood. You'll learn how to reconnect with your husband in simple ways so you can enjoy spending time together. You'll understand, communicate, and manage your expectations. Expectations are so big. What I want you to do is to be able to focus on what matters most, and we're going to be talking about that. You're also, in this call, I'm going to be sharing how to move past resentment and genuinely forgive so you can be happy and move forward with peace. So that's a lot. That's a lot, right? And it almost seems like I'm just going to wave this magic wand and make all your marriage problems disappear. And while I'd like to think that I'm good, there is only so much that we can accomplish in an hour. So if you stay till the end, I'm going to be giving away a resource that will kind of feel like a magic wand, meaning that it's something that will make a really big difference. And I'll also be sharing how you can go more deeply into the topics that we'll talk about and get some incredible support to make these five keys part of your life on a more consistent basis. So stay with me. Now, at the same time, you may be asking, you know, who are you, Siobhan? Like, who are you to even be giving this talk? I recognize that to some of you, I may be a complete and total stranger, that maybe you saw a post about this call on Facebook or your friend told you about it, but really, you know, you don't know me like that. To others, you may have read one of my blog posts or visited my website, attended one of my couples events, and you may know a little bit about my approach, but you've never really seen me like this in this setting. And then for others, you may know me either personally or you've been coached by me in the past and you know exactly what you're going to get tonight. But I want to make sure that we're on the same page. And so just to give you a snapshot about who I am, I'll tell you that I've spent the past 15 years studying what it takes to have healthy relationships. I am a researcher by training. I got my doctorate from Johns Hopkins University. I've written curriculum, I've given presentations, I've conducted tons and tons of workshops on the topic of relationships. I am the founder and the owner of a company called Relatable, which is a relationship and life coaching company, and we are dedicated to providing the best strategies to help you relate well to anyone and anything in your life. But if I can just be real with you, I think, you know, most importantly, as we all come together tonight, I'm a woman, just like you, who's had some really hard times in my marriage. And today, while I'm proud to say that I'm a happily married woman, it's been an interesting road to get there. I've been with my spouse for 9 years. We have been married for 4, and our relationship has surely had its own set of ups and downs. There have been those days and those times when I could not have been more in love with my husband, loving everything he was doing. And then there have been times when we've just had some really hard moments where, you know, the way he thought about things and the way I thought about things could not have been more different, where, you know, even looking at him in the face was like the last thing I wanted to do. There have been times where I felt like we've been more connected to social media than we were connected to each other. And there have been times where I felt like I was doing everything and he was doing nothing. And to be honest, you know, there has been times when he's literally broken my heart, and there have been moments where I wondered if I married the right person. And I've wondered what happened to the person that I thought I'd married. And, you know, I'm sure as you come to this conversation with me tonight, you've probably had a moment or two like that yourself. I'll share a specific day. You know, I was feeling completely overwhelmed by taking care of our daughter, who at the time was an infant, and I needed him, and I felt like he just was not there for me. It was like, you know, I was having this out-of-body experience where all I was doing was complaint after complaint, and it was like he could do nothing right. I didn't feel understood. I didn't feel supported, and I felt like I was doing everything on my own. And I'll never forget what he said to me in that conversation. He said, "Siobhan, I'm for you. I am not your enemy." And it stopped me in my tracks. You know, here was the person that I love most in the world, And I had created this story about him as someone who was against me, someone who would never meet my expectations, someone I couldn't communicate with, someone I needed to distance myself from instead of drawing closer, and someone who I questioned his every move instead of giving him the benefit of the doubt. And it was someone that I was beginning to harbor resentment toward rather than opening my heart up with, you know, with compassion. And so over that next year, I began to accumulate tools and learn new ways of thinking. I began to practice positivity and gratitude. I began to push myself to connect with him when I really wanted to withdraw. And I began to really see what was happening in my marriage. And what I realized that it was all starting in my mind. And, you know, I just want you to know that if it's possible for me to get this right and to figure this out, that it's possible for you. And I am really excited to show you how through this talk tonight. I want to make sure just a couple of logistical things that you have been able to access a handout that I created. It's a little worksheet where you can take notes and outline your next steps and things like that. It is on my website, which is at Be Relate Able. So it's BereLateAble.com. And there is a tab there for the Happy Marriage Blueprint, and you should see all the notes there. So the other thing, I'm going to be going through five keys, as I said, and I want you, instead of trying to, like, digest and do something with each of the five keys, I really suggest that you find one key that speaks most to what you are going through right now and to focus on that. And again, we're recording this call so you can listen to it again and again, but find the one key that really speaks most to what you are going through. So let's get right to it. So key number one in the Happy Marriage Blueprint is to recreate your story. So here, you know, whether you know it or not, you've actually created a story about your marriage and about your husband. And, you know, if you're at a place where you're finding that you're not very happy, it is likely that your story and the thoughts you tell yourself are playing a huge part in that. So in every interaction you have with your husband, there are literally like 1,000 different ways to interpret what's happening. There are like 500 ways to see it as a positive and 500 ways to see it as a negative. And I'm sure, you know, like when you guys first got together, seeing the positive was relatively easy. But over time, as he did things to sort of get on your nerves or he acted in ways that disappointed you, it became just as easy to see things in a negative way as in a positive. And as time went over and over, as time went on longer and longer, you know, when your issues became unresolved and your feelings continued to get hurt and distance set in, that it began to be easier to see the negative things than the positive things. And if you're like me and any of my clients, you get really, really good at seeing the negative. So here's what I mean. I'm going to give you three scenarios, and I want you to think about what's your interpretation in these examples, okay? So scenario number one is your husband doesn't call when he's supposed to, and he comes home later than you expected. So I want you to think, like, what's your interpretation of that? You know, what are the thoughts that are running through your head about your husband? He doesn't call when he's supposed to, and he comes home later than you expected. Scenario two is you ask your husband to do something for you, and it does not get done. Okay? You've asked him to do something, and it doesn't get done. What is your interpretation there? What are the thoughts, what are the things you're telling yourself about him in that situation? Number three, you come, you know, to your husband to talk with him about something that's bothering you, and he doesn't provide the response you would like. So you come straight to your husband to talk about something that's bothering you, and he doesn't provide the response you would like. So again, what are the thoughts that are running through your head in these situations? I'm just going to take a wild guess that they're probably not that great. And that probably, you know, even thinking about some of these things brings up anger or frustration or sadness or hurt. And I'm sure as I was sharing those scenarios, you could probably think of a very specific situation where something like that played itself out in your own life. And, you know, what I want you to do now is to pick up one of those thoughts that ran through your mind as I offered those scenarios. So something you thought about your husband in those examples. So, for example, you might be thinking, you know, he's out doing something he's not supposed to do if he comes home late. Or he doesn't ever do what I need him to do if, you know, if your requests go unmet. Or he doesn't care about what I have to say. So the list could go on and on, but, you know, to make sure that you really get this, what I want you to do is just think about, you know, a thought you have about your husband. The sentence, it's like a sentence in your head, and it should start with something like, my husband, and then dot, 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 or he, dot, dot, dot. So you're filling in the blank with a thought or an opinion, honestly, that you have about your husband. So I'm just going to give you a second to do that. So get something very specific in your head. Okay, so I hope you have something. And so now what I want to do is I want to show you how to recreate your story, because that's what this key is all about, recreating your story. So, and again, if you were able to access the handout, this is all listed there. So the first step to recreating your story is to find one example where the opposite is true. So again, if you have this thought about your husband that is a negative thought, I want you to find one example where the opposite is true. So if you're thinking, he never listens to me, he doesn't care what I have to say, find one example where the opposite is true. And there is an example. I'm sure for some of you it's sort of like, no, there's never been a time. But if you can open your mind a little bit and spend a little bit of time thinking about it, I'm sure you could find at least one time where the opposite was true. The second step to recreate your story is to pick one other explanation that gives him the benefit of the doubt. So again, we're really quick to assume things, but if we can find one other explanation that gives him the benefit of the doubt, it will really help us in our own peace of mind. And then the third step to recreating your story is to decide to be curious instead of confrontational. And so, you know, a lot of times, again, we make lots of assumptions about our husband's behavior. But being curious is really just that, like being like, huh, like I wonder why he did that. And having a mind of openness to like really get the answer, to really understand it, as opposed to this sort of confrontational where it's like, well, why in the world would he do that? Right? You can just tell the difference of, you know, the attitude and the sort of chip on your shoulder when you're being a little bit confrontational about asking the question why. And so being curious, again, is just opening your mind to really learning the answer. And if you do these things, you should actually sense a shift in how you feel. You know, your mind should actually feel a little bit lighter, your heart a little bit more kinder, and your mind just a little bit more open as well. And so often for us as women, our default is to be on the offensive, right? To attack, to accuse, to assume. And please know that I'm not trying to make any excuses for your husband, but I want you to see is the way that you're thinking and the story you create, how that's impacting you and your own happiness, right? So he's going to go on doing the things that he's going to do, but if it's eating you up inside, if you're the one who's anxious, if you're the one distracted by your emotions, not him, then, you know, this is something that you really can learn to do for yourself, right? So I want to move on to the next key. And key number two in the Happy Marriage Blueprint is to rethink your communication issues. So communication, ironically, is one of the top issues women come to me with as a problem in their marriage. You know, they'll say, we don't communicate, or he doesn't listen, or he doesn't understand, or we just argue all the time. And so, you know, it's a funny thing because we say we have all these communication issues, and I wonder if we really know what communication is. So I went to my friend, Merriam-Webster, maybe you know her, the dictionary, and this is what she had to say about communication. It is the act or process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information, or to express your ideas, thoughts, and feelings. So, you know, what I love about this definition is that it's very broad, and it reminds us that behavior is part of communication. And lack of behavior and silence is also communication. So, you know, you'll hear me say this a lot. Most people actually do not have communication issues. They have a listening and understanding issue. 93% of our communication is nonverbal, you know, with 55% of that being our body language and 37% being in our tone of voice. And so I want to ask you, how would you describe your own nonverbal communication? You know, what is your body language like? Or what is your tone of voice when you speak to your husband? And just be honest. You know, just be honest. And I know for me, you know, if my husband catches me at the wrong time, he can get a little attitude from me. And I'm sure, you know, if you're honest, the same for you. But the funny thing is, you know, we're communicating all the time, and when you think about your communication, you're doing so much more effectively than you probably give yourself credit for. It's in your facial expressions, in the pace of your speech, in the tone of your voice, as well as the words you use. And so you may not be achieving the result you want, but you're communicating effectively, and your husband is communicating back to you in his facial expressions, and even in his lack of verbal response. So as we think about rethinking your communication issues, I want you to focus on two things, listening and understanding. Because when you can truly listen to and understand another person, you can communicate in ways that they understand. And ultimately, for yourself, you become understood, right? And so there are three things to help you focus on listening and understanding. The first is to listen to yourself. So often, we fly off the handle and get upset about specific incidents, like something very specific that happened, when really the issue is an emotional need that we cover up with whatever is happening in the moment. So ask yourself this question. What's really the matter? Am I feeling insecure? Am I feeling jealous? Or am I feeling unloved? Do I feel unappreciated? Or am I just unhappy with myself? So, you know, being able to recognize that you're not upset about a specific thing, like whether it's lateness or the fact he doesn't help out much or that he doesn't spend enough time at home, but it's not those specific things. It's really the result of a deeper feeling that's within you. And that's the feeling that's essential to being able to communicate with clarity, right? So fighting over, you know, some very specific thing is not going to resolve the deeper issue of what's really happening for you. Point number two is to listen with your heart. This is so important, and when I learned about it, it really changed so much for me because I always thought I was a great listener. So to listen with your heart means looking for the emotion and the feeling of the other person. And so when your husband speaks to you or when he doesn't speak to you, I want you to search for a one-word emotion that could describe what he is experiencing. You know, ask yourself, is he upset? Is he frustrated? Is he overwhelmed? Is he confused? You know, searching for the emotion in your communication will cause you to listen in an entirely different way. And then the third point is to check for understanding. So a lot of times we think we understand what's being said, but what has really happened is we've made up in our some different interpretation based on what we want to hear. And we do that because, honestly, we're not really listening. So the practice of replaying back what you heard and taking away from a conversation is really important. And that can be done whether it's a one-way conversation where you're just the one talking or a two-way conversation. And you may have seen something like this on TV, you know, usually like in a therapist's office, where you may hear someone say, you know, so what I hear you saying is, or I hear you telling me that, blah, 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 right? And it sounds so corny. And you probably are thinking, you know, like real people do not talk like that. And honestly, you would be right. And that is why real people have so many issues. And so it's going to feel awkward at first. I'm not going to lie to you. But like anything, it takes practice. And so you have to find the language that works for you. And so some examples of checking for understanding look like, so what you're really saying is blah, blah, blah. Or even if they're not talking to you, you could say something like this. I notice you haven't responded. Is it because blah, blah, blah? Or you could say, let me make sure I understand you. Are you telling me fill in the blank? Or you could say something like, I get the sense that you are, again, fill in the blank. So find the language that works best for you. But again, the points are listening to yourself, listening with your heart, and checking for understanding. Key number three in the Happy Marriage Blueprint is to revise your manual. So when you got married, I'm sure that you had this vision for how you expected things to go. You thought about the role you would assume as a wife, the role your husband would assume as a man, and, you know, honestly, some of those expectations were probably clearly talked about. But I'm going to make an assumption that some of them probably went unsaid because in your mind, it's literally just common sense. There are certain rules of behavior you shouldn't have to tell someone about because everyone should think about it and do it that way, right? Well, wrong. So the concept of a manual is your set of rules and regulations for how someone should interact with you. It's essentially what they should say, what they should not say, what they should do, and what they shouldn't do. It's your rule book. And what gets us into trouble is that we really do think that the way we think about things and the way that we do things is the only way that it can be and should be done. We expect others, namely our husbands, to automatically know what they should do, like when they should help out, when they should offer reassurance, when they should listen, what they should say to make us feel better. And we don't often consider that our manual is our manual, And that at the end of the day, it's just our opinion about how things should be. No one has to follow our rule book, just like we don't have to follow anyone else's. And now I want to be clear, you know, I'm not suggesting that you lower your standards. I'm just asking that you revise the way you think about those rules. Thinking about, you know, your expectations as your opinions rather than the law will help relieve you of a lot of unnecessary upset and frustration. And so this is really for you. And again, let's really be clear. I'm not talking about expectations that you've already agreed to in your marriage, right? I'm not talking about being faithful and honoring and respecting each other and all of those things. But I'm talking about the more subtle day-to-day things, like how things should be done around the house, or how he should care for the children, or how you should manage other aspects of your life together. So each of us come to our marriage with our own experiences, right? The way that we saw things done in our own homes, the lessons we've learned along the way. And, you know, our husbands haven't had those exact experiences. He didn't grow up in our house. He didn't learn the lessons we've learned. And vice versa, likewise, we have not lived his life either. And so as we think about revising your manual, it means doing three very specific things. And so the first is you respect the possibility that there is another way. It's not only your way. There's other ways. So you respect the possibility that there is another way. Number two is being open to accepting that everyone doesn't think the way you do and that is okay. So it's being open to accepting that everyone doesn't think the way you do, and that's okay. And then the third thing is asking yourself, what can I learn from considering a perspective different from my own? What can I learn, right? And so for myself, you know, my husband and I have very different financial management habits. He is a saver and I am a spender. And so this has been an area where I've really had to do some work of really, you know, going through and respecting the possibility that there's another way to manage money. Like, it is a good thing to save and it's a good thing to live below your means. And I've had to really ask myself, you know, like, well, what can I learn from his habits that are very different from my own? And it's really been a good thing. It's really been a good thing. So that's it. Key number three, revise your manual. Key number four in the Happy Marriage Blueprint is to rebuild your connection. So I don't need to tell you that the connection between you and your husband is one of the most important things to creating a marriage you love. You know, the connection should be strong, it should be secure, comfortable, and constant. You know, essentially you just want to feel like you're best friends where, you know, you can't wait to tell them about your day, you laugh over the little things, and you really, really enjoy each other's company. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes that connection is not strong, right? It's not secure, it's uncomfortable, and it's certainly not constant. You know, maybe you don't talk as much as you should, or you don't know what's going on in each other's lives. You don't spend enough time together. And honestly, you know, sometimes that's okay with you because you don't exactly enjoy being in each other's presence. And it happens from time to time. And for some, you get stuck there, right? You get stuck there where the connection is just really poor. And so what I have to say on this point is that the only way to rebuild your connection is to rebuild your connection. And I want you to think back to when you first met and started dating. You know, think back to that time, like, how did you get to know each other? How did you develop your bond as a couple? how did you demonstrate that you were into him, right? And so what I want you to do now is I actually want you to write a list of five things that you did or have ever done while dating or early in your marriage to show your love. Okay, so again, this is a list of five things that you used to do or you did one time, but whatever it is, five things or five ways that you have shown your love to your husband. And it can be something that you did just one time or something that you did on a regular basis, but we're looking for five things. And if you can't come up with five, that's okay. Two or three is fine, but just try to take yourself to those moments where you've really been intentional about demonstrating your love. And it doesn't have to be a huge, big production. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. For example, so for me, I used to cook dinner and bring it to my husband at work. There were times when he'd be working during the dinner hour. I would cook up a meal, drop it off. He loved it. I felt really good about doing that for him. So I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. Again, five things that you have done or used to do to demonstrate your love, okay? Okay, so hopefully you got a couple of things down, and you can certainly fill in the blanks a little bit later. But what I want you to do is to just think about those things. You know, why did you do them? Why did you do those things? Was it because he earned it? You know? Or was it just because you felt like showing your love? And I want you to think about how you felt. You know, how you felt doing those things. You know, as you were preparing to do whatever it is, you were probably all excited and thinking about how he would respond and just really happy to give your love freely, right? So, you know, this call is about action, and what I'm going to ask you to do is to select one of those things to do within the next 7 days. So you can place a star by it, whatever, find one thing, one way to demonstrate your love, and try to do that in the next 7 days. And there's a catch to it. There's a catch. So I want you to do that thing, whatever it is, and expect nothing in return, meaning no thank you, no appreciation, no acknowledgement. And if you get those things, great, it's a bonus. But, you know, making a connection with someone requires that you put yourself out there, that you become vulnerable, which is really, really scary. And it's a place that we don't like to be because you don't know if they're going to reciprocate. You don't know how they'll receive your gesture. But I want you to do it anyway. And I know that some of you are in a really bad space in your marriage where you're probably not being nice to each other at all. And nobody wants to make the first move to make things better. That essentially, you know, you're both protecting yourself, quote unquote, from each other by withholding your love, right? But I just want to ask, you know, what is it that you're protecting yourself from? Is it from feeling hurt? From feeling silly? You know, are you punishing him for something? And when you really, really think about it, and if you can be honest, you know, the truth of the matter is you're already feeling hurt. You're already feeling silly. And the only person you're punishing is yourself. And that being loving and kind feels so much better than turning away. It takes a lot of energy to be mad and mean and upset and to withdraw from someone because our natural tendency is to want to love. And so right now I'm just asking you to try it, right, to try it on. And I really hope that you will. I really hope that you will, because it will feel good for you, for you. Okay, I got all deep, I know. Point number five, key number five in the Happy Marriage Blueprint, release resentment. This is another deep one. So I want to ask you, what's something that your husband has done to hurt or upset you, either recently or a long time ago, that you are holding on to? I'll ask you again. What's something your husband has done to hurt or upset you, either recently or a long time ago, that you are holding on to? So, you know, obviously I don't know what came to mind for you, but I do know that for some, the answer came really quickly. You know, you probably had your answer before I could even finish the sentence. And for others, you may have to go back in your mind a little bit to find something, but you found something, right? And so whatever it is that you're holding on to, I want you to answer four questions, okay? So the first question is, why am I still holding on to this? Why? Why are you holding on to it? Why do you carry it with you? What is it doing for you? Okay, question one, why am I still holding on to this? Question two, is he aware of this issue and how you feel? If so, what has he said about it? And if not, why not? So question two, is he aware of the issue and how you feel? Question three, how would you like to feel about this issue? How would you like to feel? And then question number four, how has holding on to this issue negatively affected your life? How has holding on to this issue negatively affected your life? And so when it comes to resentment, we think it's serving a purpose, right? So the other person is wrong. They were at fault, and we've been wronged by them. And we want them to pay. We want them to make up for it in some way. And in that respect, we're the victim, right? And we think, you know, well, there have to be consequences to what they did. And so we hold on to it until we think either, you know, until we think they're really, really sorry or that they've paid the price for their misbehavior. But I just want to ask you, you know, who really suffers the most? Who's walking around with the hurt and the pain? Who's still crying about it? It's you. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that when we resent someone for what they did or didn't do, there's a large part of ourselves that's really upset and angry with ourselves. You know, in the situation, maybe we didn't stand up for ourselves, or maybe we weren't paying attention to the signs, or maybe we feel foolish that something like this happened to us. But whatever the case, you know, there's a part of yourself that you have not forgiven, which means that you can't forgive them. So here, you know, on releasing resentment, the first step is to forgive yourself. And to do that, you've really got to get in touch with what about you in this situation is hurting you the most. And it may take some time. It really may take some time for you to find that answer. But in the handout, there is, you know, a sentence stem to guide your thoughts a little bit to help you. And it's this. When I think about this situation, what upsets me the most about myself is, and then you'll fill in the blank. Okay, when I think about this situation, what upsets me the most about myself is, fill in the blank. So, there you have it. My five keys to creating a marriage you love. Number one, revising your story. Two, rethinking your communication issues. Three, revising your manual. Four, rebuilding your connection. Five, releasing resentment. And again, as I suggested at the beginning, it'll be really helpful to just focus on the one area that you want to make the most progress on for now. And I realize this is a lot of information to digest, and I hope that you've heard something where you're like, oh my gosh, that's so on point. I really need to do that. And, you know, I know that there is great energy right now to do it, right? You're probably motivated. You've taken your notes. You've done your steps. And these ideas are, like, so fresh in your mind. And, again, there's this great energy. I'm still on the phone. We're still talking about this. But I also know that if you're like me, when you hang up this phone, real life is waiting for you, right? You got some stuff to do before you got to go to bed. You got some work waiting for you. You have life you had before you dialed into this call, right? So what's going to be different? What are you going to do differently in the next hour, in the next day, in the next week? How are you going to keep it up and make this a habit? I'll tell you, you know, behavior change is really hard. And as a researcher, a little geeky hat, it takes 66 days, which is just around 2 months, to form a lasting habit or a new way of doing things. And, you know, I am also a program person, and I think you can always get something valuable out of, like, a one-hour talk like this. But to make really lasting impact, you need to practice it. It needs to become, like, a habitual, constant thing that's a part of your life, and you need more support. And, you know, as you've listened to me tonight, if you found any of this helpful and feel like, this is great, I don't want to lose the momentum, I could use a little more reinforcement, I want to keep this up, you know, if that's you, if that's what you're saying in your mind, like, wow, this really spoke to me, she really hit it for me, then I want to offer you something really amazing. I have this program. It's called Getting to Happily, and it goes much deeper and strengthens your habits in these areas. It is an 8-week program. It's a self-study coaching program. It's designed actually for women specifically. This is a program where if you've been saying to yourself, I just need to work on myself, this is the program that will help you do that with tools and resources and guidance. And if you want to see all about it and learn more, it is also on my website, which, again, is three words. Think of it as three words. BeRelateAble.com. So it's BeRelateAble.com. And you can find everything about getting to happily in the tab that says happy. Okay? And so, you know, the program, again, it's 8 weeks. It takes the best strategies that I've used personally as well in my coaching practice. And, you know, I'll just give you a quick snapshot of each of the sessions. So session one is what's your story? And it's what we talked about tonight and how the story you create is causing your experiences. And it teaches you how to shift that story so that you can improve your interactions with your husband. Session two is all about you and looking at you, and it will give you the skills to keep your calm and remain in control of your emotions in trigger situations. Session 3 is about the manual, and it will help you to better deal when your expectations are not being met. Session 4 is about taking responsibility and how you can become more empowered so that you can put more energy into what's actually going to be working in terms of improving your relationship. Session 5 is about effective communication, which we talked about a lot here, and how to do that in ways where you are really heard and understood. Session 6 is about embracing reality and how to truly let go of the things that are beyond your control and to accept each moment as it comes with gratitude. Session 7 is about moving toward your husband, how to overcome the things that prevent you from connecting and bonding in the way that you should. And session 8 is all about compassion and forgiveness and how to do that in small ways every day. And so, again, all of the details are on the website, berelatable.com/happy. The structure of the program is there. Each module or each session is the same, where you get a coaching video. So you'll see my face. We'll meet together, and I will guide you step by step through the session. There are exercises similar to some of the ones we did on this call tonight that will help you process what's happening. There are tools that will help you learn and grow as an individual. There are questions and processes, again, to sort of help you transform your thinking. And there are action steps. So I'm an action person. There are things that each session will challenge you to do to make progress. And in addition to those 8 sessions, there is an online forum where you'll be connected with all the other women that have enrolled in the program, as well as 2 group coaching calls. So we will meet again on the line, similar to tonight, although it will be much more interactive, where you can pose your questions ahead of time and get coached on the call. And so that's the program. And, you know, when you think about something like this, it should probably cost, you know, lots and lots of money. You know, when you think about therapy, for example, I know that therapy sessions run easily, you know, $130 to $175, and that's just for 1 hour. And if you've been to therapy, you know, you can only get so far in one session, and that you need probably at least like 5 sessions. And so this program, the full 8 weekly sessions, the 2 group coaching calls, and the online support community is $397. It is $397 today. And for some of you, you're hearing that number and you're like, what? That's crazy. $397, that's ridiculous. For others, $397 is no big deal at all. But I want us to all think about this by taking a trip in your closet, right? Let's just pretend like we're walking in your closet right now. Now, if I were to look at your handbag collection or 4 of your favorite pair of shoes, I'm sure I could get to $397 in about 15 seconds. And the sad thing about us, you know, and it really is sad, is that we are really quick to spend our money on material things, on the Michael Kors, the Tory Burch, the Coach, whatever, whoever your designer is, I'm sure they are well represented in your closet. But I want you to think about your marriage. And I want you to imagine being really, really happy. I want you to think about investing in yourself. I want you to think about what you just took away from this call in the hour that we've been on the phone, and imagine getting that times 100, you know, it's invaluable. It's invaluable. You probably can't put a price on it. So I really want you to consider it. And you know already if you resonated with what I've said, if you feel like I can help you, if you feel like this is the right next step for you, you know that answer already. And so, again, I encourage you to take a look at the program. You can sign up. The cart closes on Sunday, October 18th. So you do have a little bit of time to think about it, but you know the answer. We are starting with session one on October the 19th. And when you go on that page, you'll see that there are actually two options for the program. There's the self-study, which is exactly what I've described to you. And there's also a one-on-one intensive where if you're the type of person where you want to talk with me every week, where you want greater accountability, where you want me to look at your worksheets and give you feedback, and you want me to customize things for you a little bit more, we can do that. And so it's the complete program plus personal coaching, 8 weeks of personal coaching with me. And that is also listed on the website, and you'll see that there, and it's $7.97. With all options, there is a payment plan if you want to put some money down and then pay the rest later. That is available to you. And it also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So I want this to be easy for you to say yes to if you feel it's the right thing. So sign up. Try it out, do the work, and if you find that you put forth all your effort and it's still not working for you, I will be happy to return your money. So that is the Happy Marriage Blueprint. I promised that this would be an interactive experience where you could ask me questions and get on the spot advice, and so I recognize that it is 9:57. I do want to be respectful of everyone's time. I'm going to open the line. You're currently on mute, but I'm going to open the line if you have a question or a comment. You don't have to say your name, so they can be anonymous questions and comments. I will open the line, and I will also stay on the line till probably around 10:15 if there are a lot of people who do actually have questions and would love for me to respond to them tonight. But again, I do want to be respectful of everyone's time, so I'm going to open the line. If you could mute your phone yourself so that we can minimize any background noise, so just press mute on your own phone. I'm going to unmute the line, and then I will open it up for any questions.
Conference muted.
All right, so we are open line. If there's any questions, again, I'm more than happy to respond.
I have a question.
Yes,
Hi, my name is Caprice. If there is some issues of infidelity, can these things be helpful with rebuilding?
Yes, absolutely. It's funny, as I created the program, I wasn't thinking about the specific issue of infidelity, but I've had several women go through the program that have had that experience and have found it helpful. So yes, I think because, you know, the principles, when we think about something of infidelity, particularly if the person who was unfaithful has made a commitment to not do it again and is remorseful and sorry, then the work really becomes in your own mind, in the person that has been hurt by that situation. And it's a skill of learning to leave the past in the past, and the skill of creating a different story for what that relationship can be and can look like. And so any aspects of betrayal, whether it's, you know, infidelity of any sorts or even inappropriate behavior with another person that may not fully cross the line of infidelity, it's all mind work. It's all mind work, and I think this program absolutely will help in moving you forward mentally and emotionally to heal from that experience. Great question.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
You're welcome. I have a question. My name is Tony. I recently married my husband. We're going on a year in November, and it seems like we just got married yesterday. And one of the things that I noticed between the two of us is sometimes I just feel like we do not understand each other. Like, my family, we're very open, but we're very kind of honest. And you have to have thick skin to be around my family sometimes because we can kind of joke around a little bit too much. And my husband, on the other hand, is more sensitive to where I can say something and I watch my words and I think about them before I say it just because I know that he's more sensitive than I am. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like no matter how sensitive I try to be, it still comes across to him as rude.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you handle communication issues like that?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think part of it is great that you recognize the difference in your styles and how you communicate and how your husband receives your communication. I don't know to what degree you've actually talked with him about how he would like for you to communicate with him, right? So you're trying to be very intentional to feelings and feelings, and you're trying to choose your words carefully, and I'm sure some days you do better than other days. And so when we think, you know, when we come up with our own answers for how we should modify our behavior to meet someone else's needs, sometimes we do well and sometimes we don't. So I think one piece would definitely be to have a specific conversation with your husband to understand what it is specifically about what you say that hurts him, right? So what your words are hitting like a raw spot in him that literally have nothing to do with you, but you're triggering it for him for some reason. And so you'll want to understand that because hearing you now, it seems like it's something you care to address. So that would be one part. The other part is, and this is what I teach a lot in the program, is you can only be responsible for your intent and your, you know, and what you're doing, right? So if your intentions are good and you are trying really hard to not offend him, you know, the what you have to do for yourself so that you don't get too down and beat yourself up for it is to recognize that you're not responsible for his feelings. And I think, you know, in relationships, we are loving and kind and we try very much to, you know, cater to our husbands and our partners' feelings. And we do what we can, but we can only do so much. At the end of the day, it's in his mind, right? So he's created a story about what you say to him, that you can't go in and change that story for him. You can only be responsible for your intentions and for trying to have the best intentions and for trying to meet his needs. But ultimately, the decision is his. And you can't take responsibility for his feelings because that's completely out of your control. You can only take responsibility for your intent and how and what you say to him. So those are the two things. Those are the two things I would offer.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ebony. Thank you for offering your question. Anyone else? Other questions?
I think this is an excellent conference call. It helped me in great, great way. Listening aspect and just really seeing where I am on certain levels. I appreciate what you offered to. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for offering that. I appreciate hearing that. It's my honor to be, you know, to be used in this way. So thank you.
Yes, it is a blessing. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. God bless you. other questions, comments? I definitely don't want to keep people on longer than necessary, but I do want to be available if there are questions. All right. Not belabor the evening. I will be making a recording available. So obviously all of you on the line tonight got some form of communication or email from me. And so hopefully when I send the recording out, you will likewise be able to access it. And you can find me in many, many different places. You can find me certainly on my website. My email address is listed there. I am also very active on Facebook. I have a group on Facebook. It's called Happily Married Woman. You can look for that group and request to join. And you do not have to be a happily married woman in the moment. It is all about providing resources to get us to being a happily married woman. That is a free group for anyone to join. I am on YouTube. I do weekly videos on YouTube. I do weekly blog posts. So if you've signed up for my general listserv, you'll be receiving those as well. But I really hope, you know, that some of you will take a look at the Getting to Happily program. It is, it's amazing. It's something that's very innovative and, you know, different. But if I didn't create it, I would be looking for something just like this. So if, again, a person who has been thinking, I really want to work on myself, I really need to just spend some time reflecting and figuring things out, this is definitely the program that will do that for you and give you skills that will become habits that will completely transform not only your marriage and how you experience your husband, but other aspects of your life as well. So thank you again. You have been a fantastic audience. It has been my pleasure, and I look forward to welcoming many of you to the program and to staying in touch with all of you. Have a great, great evening.
You as well.
Conference muted.